Blog Talk Radio.
Cocoon. Hallelujah. 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 Toda Abaya, for everything that you have done for us this week, Father. Everything that you have done for us today, Father. Everything that you have done to us for us up to this moment, Father. We thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you for the blessing of health, Father. We thank you for the blessing of the relationship that we have with you, Father. Father, as we take this journey, Father, on this Shabbat day, Father, we ask that your spirit dwell with us here this Shabbat, Father, that you let us know, Father, through your word and through your servants, Father, that will bring forth the truth of your Torah today, Father, the truth of your way of life today, Father, that you are with us, Father, that you hear us always, Father, and that, Father, that you are always listening, Father, and that you answer our prayers, Father. Great, small, and in between, Father. We ask that you look over all the members of Beth Yahweh, Father, near and far, Father, those that are part of this particular congregation, Father, as well as those who are part of your house of Yahweh all throughout the world, Father. We ask that you look after all their kings, Father, that you strengthen them, Father, that you let them know, Father, that you are with them through whatever struggles that they may be experiencing, Father. I ask you, Father, that you look after all the widows, Father, that you look after the orphans, Father. I ask that you look after all the creatures, Father, that we love, Father. We thank you, Father, for this day, Father. We thank you for the blessing of your son, Yahushua, Father. We just ask now, Father, that you continue to bless us, that you continue to walk with us, Father, that you continue to uphold us, Father, and that you chasten us, Father, when we need chastening, Father, through your loving kindness, Father. These things we ask in the name of your son, Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered the truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yishmael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shabbat, family. All right. Let's get a quick check out there to make sure that I am coming through. And if I am, if anybody could give a thumbs up to Rabbi to study Yaakov El and let him know that we have got sound. I'm going to continue to set things up here on this end for family. All right. Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody's doing well? Hallelujah. Hopefully for a lot of moments. Had a challenging week this week. You know, I shared it with my brother. You know, started off tomorrow after the Shabbat, early in the morning. You know, I get a text, you know, from my children's mother, my sister, Ahaba, that she was taking my little daughter to the emergency room, you know, because she was not feeling well, you know. Got there and found out that my child, after several tests later on that week, my child had a massive heart attack, you know, caused by a blood clot. And it's so funny because it came on the heels of me hearing a story. I don't know if I shared that last Shabbat of a gentleman that I work with, you know, my brothers might know. You can't hear me? Oh, am I speaking loud enough? Or on the thing? Oh, man, I got to put my bit.
Okay, let me put my big boy voice on. Let me pull out my voice. So, this is on the heels of just a couple days prior that a gentleman on a job shared with me that one of our colleagues had been out because his 20-some-odd-year-old son had a massive heart attack, what they call a widowmaker, while he was playing with his kids in the pool, came out of the pool, sat on the pool ladder. They said he slumped over, fell into the pool, and the kids didn't realize that he wasn't playing. You know, the kids thinking he's just joking around. He was just playing with them in the pool, you know, pool fun, you know, that sort of stuff. That was it. 20-some-odd years old, you know. So it can happen. So I know Abba is merciful. My child is still here, you know, because when the doctor said it was a massive heart attack, that's mercy. That's mercy. And I just want to thank Abba for his mercy. You know, I look at my baby sitting in. You know, try not to think about it, but I ain't going to lie. You know, when they started talking about making a will for my child, I ain't even got no will. And I know will because I ain't got nothing to leave. What am I going to leave my child? Video games? You know, I ain't got nothing to leave him. And it was like, wow, we had to, you know, just the thought of having to make preparations for my 22-year-old child was devastating to me. You know, it was devastating. You know, and I'm trying to keep my spirits up, you know, keep her emotions down because it's a, you know, cardiac situation. You don't want somebody's, you know, blood pressure to get elevated, heart rate to get elevated. But I'm sitting there the whole time, right? You know, and I'm like, I got to be the dad. I got to be the man. But every time I see my child in that hospital, in my 40, soon to be 49 years on this planet, I say, save the one time I was born. Then one time when I was messing around at college and got my hand sliced open. You know, another time when I messed around, broke some glass and got my foot sliced open. Other than for emergency medical treatment, I've never been in a hospital bed. You know, so to see my child on not just one occasion, you know, and it got, you know, progressive, that, like, wow, you know, it's never a good feeling, man. You know, and you know, you got to be the man, you got to be the strong one, but the whole time I'm there, I'm on the verge of just busting out in tears, you know. And then when her mother mentioned, you know, we might have to think about a will, you know, for our child and our grandchild, like, what? I'm trying to watch Avengers with my child right now. Keep her mind focused. I can't think about that. And but Abba is merciful, you know, and got a text message from a rabbi that it's time to have a talk, you know, a real serious talk. That, you know, remind my child, you know, that you ain't coming to this world to be worldly. You ain't coming to this world to be of this world. You know, and granted, your mother and I, we may have had our struggles or whatever, we may have gone through our challenges, but at the end of the day, one thing, you know, I've taken my leave of absences. You know, I've gone AWOL every once in a while because, you know, I'm Yahweh's little spoiled brat. Unless Yahweh say you got to go somewhere, this is where I be. Unless Yahweh say you got to go traveling for him and go visit other congregations, this is where I be. You know, I can say that with total conviction. Except we visit another congregation, I, as a whole, say one time, this is the place I've spent more than half my life coming on Shabbat. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. I never had a serious thought about saying, I'm not going to worship here. Maybe I don't feel like seeing nobody for the next couple of Shabbats. Yeah, I get crazy like that. But as far as saying I want to hear the word of Yahweh from anyone else or any other, no. I cannot say that. No, I have not. You know, maybe five times tops I've been somewhere else and said I want to hear the word that somebody else has to speak to me because I know the word comes through my brother's head. I know he leads us. I know he guides us here. You know, so at the end of the day, this is home, and I want my children to know this is home. When you're ready to come back home, come back home. You know, we've been here now almost, 12 years? The address ain't changed. The address ain't changed, you know. And if we do move on from somewhere else, you're going to know where it's at. You know, every message that comes across Blog Talk Radio, guess what? It comes through faithfully, even if we ain't going to have a message for tonight. Sorry, family, due to situations beyond our control, we won't have a message for tonight. That's the only time you don't get the message of where you're going to hear the voice at. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, love is on the third week, family, talking about what love is. And again, in the world, you know, love is so cliche. It's something that's just thrown out there. Love, 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 love. But again, you know, we want to know and understand, especially members of Beth Yahweh congregation, what is the love that our Father has for us? And in that love that he has for us, how are we to show forth that love? How are we supposed to emulate him in that love? You know what I'm saying? Because the whole world says, you know, they won't. Even the atheist knows that scripture. God is love. But how do you define that love? And it's so funny because it's one of those terms, yes, it's spiritual, but it's an action word. It's something that has to be revealed from somebody. It has to be revealed from the Creator. You know? And oftentimes, you know, in our feeble minds, we forget the love that he has for us, the mercy that he has for us, you know, especially here at Beth Yahweh, because we go through our struggles. You know, I've had intimate conversations with some of my brothers, talking to my brother, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't even hold it back. I couldn't give him the, yeah, everything is all right. No, he opened the door, and I said, yeah, I'm all right. No, I'm not even going to lie to you. I see you. Blah, 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 blah. I got my 2 minutes in, and he got his 15 to 20 minutes. I said, he's supposed to be listening to me. Well, brother, no. How you feeling? I got my height. You know, let me tell you about what's going on with me. Boy, yes, sir. You know, but hallelujah. That's what we're here for, you know. When one of us is in that space where we need somebody to bring us through some troubling times, that's what we're here for, man, to hear one another, to be there for one another, to uphold one another. You know, we talk about pillars. You know, last week we got the call. Why is this front row empty? You know, why ain't all the leaders sitting up in this front row? You know, if you ain't met the qualifications yet to sit on that side, I mean, you're supposed to sit up here. And, yes, he called me out. He said, regardless of whether you see you worthy or not, that's where you're supposed to be. I heard you. I heard you. And sometimes it's your brother, too. And sometimes the brother got to get your mind right, man. Love telling that to my son. Get your mind right. Get your mind in the game. You know? So anyway, we're going to start off today in 15th chapter of John. St. John. 15th chapter. And there's some reading. But one of the things that I really feel like is, yes, you can come up here and work up a lesson and bring forth, you know, some of your insight into things. But there are times the word, just let it speak. You know, especially with this book that we're going through now, you know, let it speak. We're going through Sirach.
That's right.
And, you know, and I always crave to have that father to son conversation with my physical dad or even with an elder person that was influential in my life, you know, an older person, you know. I got that through Yahweh, through the words that he spoke. And the time that it was my turn to come up here, it was the same thing I was going through. The very same thing. I was at the verge of getting caught up in sin again. And it just so happened that that chapter, my son, hast thou sinned? I can't deny that. I can't deny that. I was going through my anxiety about death. Get to my part to read. Don't fear death, son. Death is for everybody. And you got to remind yourself, even the Son of the Living God had to die. Don't be afraid of it. Just do right. Live your life right. So that way, when it's time to Abba call you back, as the brothers used to say, to the essence, you know, he calls you back to himself. He takes that breath of life back. That when you open up into the reality, that is the good part of the reality. He even showed us that thing through his prophets, through his Savior, you know. But John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, for those of us that do the garden, I see you smiling, my brother. For those of us that do the garden, whether it's vegetables or whether it's flowers, you know that once those things, whether it's the leaves or whether it's the buds and stuff, that if you don't cut those dead pieces off, what do they do? They kill the plant. But if you cut the dead part off and you cut it off properly, what does it do for the plant? It helps nourish it. Because there's energy that the plant is trying to push out into that dead portion. So now what is happening, it's so funny, I think I shared this with y'all, you know, my wife, the lilies, you know, she had planted some lilies, waiting for these lilies to bloom. They finally bloomed. The bears came through, chopped them suckers off. And she thought it was over for the season. No. You know what the bears did? They caused them to bloom in the war. So the part that the part that they bit off now, other shoots sprout out as a result of it. I tried to kill this plant in my backyard. Guess what? 3 months later, he said, I'm back. when the breath of life is put into those things, when that energy is put into those things, it's going to find its way to live. You know? It's going to find its way to live. But the problem is, and what he's trying to tell us here is, that dead part is wasted energy for it. Because it's putting out energy for it, or those things in us that do not produce the things that Yahweh wants us to produce, they have to get cut out of us, because then Yahweh spends, or in this case, Yahushua, because he said, I'm the husbandman, right? So he said, my father is, I am the true vine and my father is the husband, right? So now, Yahushua being the vine, his father being the husband, it has to be cut up, because then Yahushua is spending, think about what we learned about Yahushua and what he is for us. And every time we do wrong, every time he's got to go back and say, Abba, forgive me. Abba, forgive me for my sake. Abba, forgive me for my sake. Abba, forgive me. That means we are making him spend extra energy doing things that really we should be able to calm down within ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but sometimes, through, because we are who we are and because we do what we do, sometimes we need a little assistance in getting rid of some of those things that don't produce life in us. So that's why he's saying that. Because he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be representative of him because we're attached to him. Okay? 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And it's so funny when we think about this book and who and the name of the person that is the author of this book, and the fact that this book, I didn't know this is ending today, right? Or possibly ending today, if that's how y'all will lead you. And he says, now you are, what was that book Ben Sirach about? Getting his son right. Telling his son very practical things that he needs to do. I mean, even the other day, what he talked about, just speaking to somebody. So if somebody salutes you, salute them back. But if they don't salute you, salute them anyway. Don't give them any call to have anything against you. Practical things for us to do every day. Father to Son conversation through the word of Yahweh, through his service of Beth Yahweh, to help clean us through the word that he has spoken to us. He says this, 15:4. Abide in me, dwell in me, live in me, and let me live in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So he said, if you're not attached to me, there's no way all this goodness and love the world is talking about, guess what? They ain't got it if they're not attached to him. No matter how good it looks on the outside, no matter how amazing it may seem at face value, if it's not attached to him, is it really real? Is it true? Is it sincere? Oh, he says, abide in me, and as I abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Listen to what he's saying. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So he said, it's impossible to have love and these fruits of the Spirit to emulate me if you're not in me. It's impossible. So think about how many people read these words and are not attached to him, but are showing forth what the world sees as being loving and kind. Is it real? Is it true? It's not. So what the world is presenting to us as love, you got to question it. 5:15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branch. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's very humbling. And Yahweh shows me that all the time. It don't matter what the situation is. I get myself caught up, and it could just be a work situation, a project I got to work on. And I'll be struggling. Then I sit down and I pray. I say, Yahweh, give me the knowledge. I know you got the knowledge. Boom. I'm sitting there like a computer whiz, like a computer genius, just stuff, giving me stuff that really I never forget. And I know it's Yahweh because I'm not that smart. I'm really not. I'm slow. I'm dead serious. I think sometimes that time my sister stabbed me with that lead pencil, it messed me up. Because it's where even when I see my brothers in here, stuff be clicking, it takes a while. Still to this day, I'll tell you, man, I got a math deficiency. I get past 1 + 1 = 2. I messed up. But Yahweh, at times, he sit me down and he'd bring it to mind. 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Once a month, they come through and collect yard material. And you know what happens to that yard material? It gets thrown away. You throw it away, then the city then throws it away. 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, my taught ones, my little students. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And here's the thing. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And when you get a chance, look up that word joy. This is my commandment, 15:12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And just think about this, y'all. Just put yourself there as one of the 12, hearing him say this to you. Y'all, my friend. Out of all these people that I've encountered, y'all, my friend. And when you think about the life of Yahushua, you go through the trials and tribulations that he went through, and to think he was lonely except in the presence of those men. So when you think about a friend, what does that say to you? He didn't have a wife. Sure, he had his mother, and he had his brother, but when he was out there doing his thing, he didn't hang with his mother and father and his brothers like that. when you hear these accounts, these are the accounts of him being with those men that he chose to be inside his inner circle. Because think about the scenario where his mother came up. Your mother over there, who's my mother? My mother. Except they to do the will of my father. I'm hanging out with these people. I'm trying to get into this. I left my mother for that reason. Yahushua, I left y'all behind for that reason. Because I had to find me some people to have this relationship with, to get them in tune, because in y'all mind, I'm this Yahushua. What is my son Yahushua? Yeah, the one that did the miracle way back then, a couple years back. Y'all remember we did that miracle? Yeah, that's my child. But the gravity and the depth, maybe she didn't even understand that. Even his friends and his taught them, his students, didn't even understand the depth of who he was. Anyway, he says this, 15:13, greater love has no man than this, and to lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, y'all not employees, y'all not slaves, y'all not here to serve me. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He don't know what he... Anybody who has a manager at work or has a leader at work, you don't know what that leader's doing. Sometimes them leaders at work do things that upset your day. But he says this. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, what the master, what the boss, what the big man is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So that means all these secrets, all these things that, except maybe a handful of prophets really knew, these 12 got. There's only a handful of men throughout time that actually was able to have this information that he has given to these men here. What a blessing that is. And they didn't even have to go through the struggles to get it that some of the prophets did. Look what Moshe had to go, look what Abraham had to go through, the Charles Abraham had to go through. Look at what Yaakov had to go through. Look at what Yitzhak had to go through and his wife. To come into this relationship with Yahweh. Look at what Job had to go through to come into this relationship. And when he met some of them, all he said to them was, follow me. One, he dragged his coat across with him, and he understood, come with me. He knew that was the call. He just said to some of them, simply, don't follow me. I think one, he said, I saw you at such and such and such a place. Where did you see me at such and such and such a place? Man, what that tell you, man? He had some of these cats in mind while they was out there doing whatever they were doing. And was able to recognize the spirit of Yahweh that was in some of them. 15:15. Henceforth, John 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I remember getting into an argument with a Christian friend of mine many, many years ago. And it was about, people predestined and all this sort of stuff. And I don't remember all the details of that, but I remember saying to him this. What do this mean? How do you do this? John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. See, when Yahweh chooses you, and he has said in the prophets, and he read this, I believe it's Jeremiah, it was I who said to Jeremiah, it was I who made you and formed you. I knew you. And I think it was David who said that you weren't made of the will of the flesh, but it was I who brought you into being. Your parents didn't just come together because of whatever reason, whether they met at a church gathering, whether they met at a nightclub, and you're here today, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, Yahweh chose you to be here, and Yahweh wanted you to be here, regardless of what circumstances may have brought you into the world. Hmm? 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. So we go through our struggles because of our faith, and we go through these trials because of our faith. Understand, don't take it personal. It's not personal. It's part of their job. It's part of their job. It's not personal. It has nothing to do with you personally, regardless of what your name is. They ain't upset with you. They are upset with the fact that there is somebody that they should be listening to that they don't want to listen to, and they don't want you to do it either. Trust me, they know they should be obedient. They know they should be obedient. Part of being disobedient is knowing you should be obedient. But because you resist obedience, you want others to resist obedience as well. So whenever you see those that are obedient, it convicts you. Because why go to heaven with all the goody goody? What fun is that? As my brother once stated to me, that ain't where the party's gonna be at. Okay. Okay. I'm making a different choice. 15:19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord, his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So what is he saying there? Think of who persecuted Yahushua. Just think for a second. Who were the ones that came at him the hardest? Israel. Israel. Don't think for a second that we're going to be friends with all of Israel. It's not going to happen, because all of Israel are not friends with him. Every color's not a brother, because a color might as well just be undercover. And it has been shown throughout history. Your worst enemy are your own people within your ranks. Your worst enemy are the ones you want to save. I love Malcolm X. Love him. Whether it was the CIA or whether it was others within the Nation of Islam, one of his own took him out. John F. Kennedy, one of his own, took him off. So evil don't discriminate. It don't discriminate. Hatred has no color. That's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of people. They think that evil and hatred has, it doesn't. It's a force. It's a mindset. Once it's distilled everything down to one color, guess what's going to happen between that color? Oh, man, you got big feet. I got little feet. I don't like people with big feet. I like people with little feet. Trust me. We will find a way as human beings to divide ourselves. Because there were some things I wanted to go into today about Israel and the divisions that took place within Israel. But when Moshe rolled up on the two Israelites fighting, what were they doing? They Israelites in the hood. In the ghetto. Because that's what Egypt was for us. Egypt was the ghetto. We was in the ghetto. We was in the hood in Egypt. They didn't get, first of all, when we went down to Egypt, they found us to be detestable. We have been detestable in their sight for over 4,000 years. As long as Egypt existed, from the moment they encountered the Hebrews, they did not like them. And guess what? We all looked alike. Way back then. But they found a reason, because we were herders, we were farmers, We weren't these sophisticates. They found that to hold us as detestable in their sight. So you fast forward now to when we're enslaved in Egypt. All one song. And a man coming up, Moshe, came to the realization, those my people down there. I got to save them. I got to do something. Why y'all fighting one another? And one of them knew a secret about him from a couple weeks back, about what he had done to their taskmaster, because he was hurting one of them. This is the mindset we got now. What you gonna do to me? What you did to my taskmaster? He telling them to stop fighting. And that's their retort. That's been our mindset towards the people of Yahweh. See, as long as we're talking that good, see, everybody says talking unto us smooth things to cause the Holy One to see from our faith necessarily means they talking another religion mumbo jumbo. No. See, sometimes these cats out there talking, man, this and the system, this and the white man, this and this. That's the same thing. That's what your ears want to hear. Your ears don't want to hear, hey, man. He said it last week. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that abuse. See, that ain't going to be talk that's going to be easy for a lot of these ears to hear. But that's the message that may have to come out of Beth Yahweh. How you think they're going to see that? My question to a lot of them cats is, and I've been with a brother who do that. Why y'all in the deep parts of the hood where the gun violence is at? Why y'all out there where the police can protect you? See, I know a brother that's strong enough to be in an area where the police ain't really there to protect you. I seen him do his work. See, I ain't never seen not one of them cats down there. But they always on some YouTube video talking their crap down at the inner harbor, where there's all this police protection and something jump out on federal property. That ain't, to me, that ain't nobody that got a whole lot of heart. You ain't got a whole lot of heart to do that. For real. Come into the hood where there's people. Just about, I'd say, one in every three people down there got a piece and ain't got a problem using it. And a mouthpiece, and ain't got a problem using it. My brother was out there with me. Shut the bleep up. They ain't got the heart. Don't think for one second they really lying, because they not. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, they not lying. They stand on public corners. Why? Because they want the spectacle. They want the thumbs up. They want the YouTube followers. That's why they do it where they do it. And they need money to support the organization. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It looks good. It sounds good sometimes. But, again, I don't see them going into the rat-infested neighborhoods. I don't see them doing that. And I've been following these cats for a long time, since high school, straight up. They was the first ones to really help me start understanding, well, I might be Israel. 17 years old, I'm telling you the truth. I encountered them on down in front of the Apollo Theater. Now, bigger than Malcolm X at them, but then they got me to think in a different way. I will accredit that. Oh, wait, I'm Israel? I'm one of these here 12 tribes, and I'm Jamaican. Oh, yeah, I'll give them that. I'll give them that. But I've seen them on 42nd Street, in Times Square in New York. I've seen them everywhere. I've seen them in a lot of places, but I ain't never seen them in the hood. I don't never see them saying, you know, we're going to clean up this part of so-and-so or this part of so-and-so. I ain't never seen them do that. Maybe I just ain't looking that deep into their videos. But to me, if you really want to make an impact, that's where you go. You go into the deepest, darkest parts of the hood. That's where people struggling. That's where people need light. The prophets weren't afraid to go there. The prophets weren't afraid to go there. Yahuja wasn't afraid to go there because he was from the hood himself. Well, what could come out of, what good could come out of where he come from? That's what we said about him. Don't cut them their high pedigree on this side. But anyway, he ain't even come from the projects, boy. To come from the projects, that means you had to have a public housing subsidy. He ain't even had that. He ain't even had that. Because once you got that public housing voucher, you can keep that for a while. He ain't even have a home. He was living with his buddy. He was living with his buddy. Anyway, I'm digressing. 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. What is he saying here? Somebody got to tell them their errors. And once their errors are told, they got no cover. That's what a cloak is. A cloak is something to cover you from the inclement weather. So funny, my coworker walked in yesterday with her umbrella out. And I was like, you're so extra. You know, that's what umbrellas were originally made for, to protect you from the sunlight, not from the rain, but it'll do a purpose. But you're like, it's hot out here. I'm hot. I'm like, all right, little girl. You're so extra. You're only walking one block to work. But anyway, but she had it for, but she wanted that covering from the sun. See, he's letting you know. Once I approached them, once I stepped in them and told them they're wrong, the protection was off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He is the Torah.
Hallelujah.
So if he didn't know it comes from, they didn't ever see the Torah, they would have never seen. But now you don't got no excuse.
I'm here.
Got no excuse.
Amen. There's no excuse. And when his children or his servants go out there and they tell the truth, guess what? There's no excuse for those either. There's no excuse for those either. 15:23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which were done, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sins. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So now their evil is complete in what they did. There's no excuse for them. Because not only, that's what I love though. Everybody's mantra is this though out there. TMH, the Most High, the Most High. But when you out there proclaiming the Most High, the Most High, the Most High, who are you proclaiming? You're proclaiming to represent the Father. He is TMH. He is the Most High, ain't he? See? So you are saying now, when you say TMH, the Most High, you are now proclaiming that you are doing the Father's work. But how are you representing the Father? You see what I'm saying? Back to 15:24. If I had not done among them the works
which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the Torah, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall be a witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. See, and when he's talking about from the beginning, he's not just talking about from the beginning of his ministry. No, he's not. He's not. He said, what's he talking about, my brother? The beginning of what? Hallelujah. 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 Because there's a good witness to everything that has taken forth from Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Es, Hashemayim, Wa'et, Ha'aret, from that point on. When he put his stamp on this thing right here, on this, on creation, on this, what we live in right here, on this planet, in this universe, you need to tell me his children, his servants, his sons, his taught have been with him from the very beginning?
Right.
Yes, this is what he said. This is exactly what he said.
Right.
From his beginning, we have been with him. His beginning. A whole lot of verses should be running through our minds right now. In particular, Proverbs. His name and his son's name, if you can tell, all these scriptures should be running through our mind right now. Confirming who we are. It was I who made you and formed you in the womb. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He's letting us know. You see, last week we got a call to order. Time to step up. Time to start at least sitting in your place. Then it's going to be a time to stand. See what I'm saying? Because there's a time he's going to say to his men, cold queen, rise up and let your enemies be scattered, O Yahweh. And let those who hate you flee before you. But when that verse was quoted, who was quoting that verse? And he encountered some enemies, didn't he? Who were the first enemies that he encountered? Moshe encountered. Who? Pharaoh? After that. What? 40 years they spent in the wilderness with who? And who else? For 40 years. So all the trials we've seen that they go through in Bereshit, Shemot, Wa'ikra, Bamidbar, and Debarim, that was all their own people. That was all their own people that they encountered. Dathan, Korah, and all the other children of Israel that rose up from time to time. Talk about kill Moshe. That's Israel. That wasn't the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Moabites. It wasn't none of them. It wasn't Esau, Edom, none of them. For 40 years, they had to deal with their own people and the enemies within. Another reading, family, going to read from Deuteronomy, Rebbe. Sixth chapter. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess. That thou mightest fear Yahweh thy Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee
thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of thy fathers, hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh, our mighty God, Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you today, this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when Yahweh thy Elohim shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou buildest not, and wells good, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest ye forget Yahweh, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What did Yahweh do when he brought us into the land full of milk and honey? What did he do? He fulfilled his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He kept his word. And all we had to do, think about it now. Think about what we talked about, I believe, last week about the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a place that Adam and Eve, they didn't have to do nothing in. What did Yahweh just say here? So he brought them into a similitude of the Garden of Eden. But he took them there, finally. He brought them to a place. He said, y'all ain't had to plant nothing. Y'all ain't had to build nothing. I kicked them people out the land for you. As a matter of fact, the thing about it, it hurts me to know that I may have been like one of my four parents.
Right.
To know that when he kicked them out of Egypt, when he took them out of Egypt and Pharaoh said, no, y'all get out of here. Right? Did they leave Egypt empty-handed? What did the Egyptians give them? They gave them a whole lot of gold, silver, jewels, everything, all their precious items they gave them. They gave them a whole lot of their stuff. So you mean even in the wilderness, before he sent them out in 40 years, he made sure that they had physical provisions? Let alone the spiritual provision. So that means when they left out of Egypt, they left bountifully. And then for 40 years, when he brings them now he brings them into the promised land, he's bringing them into a place that they ain't even got to do nothing in. So now when we see the conditions of our people out there, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why? Because every time he's done good for us, he has taken good care of us. But the sad part about it is we don't want to look within. I'm not even talking about looking within ourselves. They don't even want to look within this book anymore and really hear anything that is going to correct them. And what do the scriptures talk about a person who despises correction? They're fools. They are a fool. Back to 6:12. Beware lest thou forget Yahweh, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear Yahweh thy Elohim, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are around you. For Yahweh that Elohim is a jealous Elohim among you. Let the anger of Yahweh that Elohim be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim as you tempted him in Masada. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee. And thou shalt do which is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest go in and possess the land which Yahweh sware unto your fathers, to cast out all of thine enemies from before thee, as Yahweh has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and judgments which Yahweh your Elohim hath commanded thee? Thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. This is his hallmark. This is his claim to fame. This is the one thing he ain't going to let nobody get. I'm Yahweh. I'm not giving my glory to anybody else. 6:22. And Yahweh showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these things, to fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always. Fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always. Reverence Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he has commanded us.
Amen.
This is the one thing that I will say, and why I got an issue sometimes when I see them brothers out here talking that. Can't nobody do nothing to us except Yahweh remove his hand from us. And that's the part they really don't really recognize and understand. Whatever happens to us is Yahweh's doing.
Right.
He is allowing that. Now, granted, he is going to say to those heavy-handed taskmasters, for lack of a better term, but those that were just thought that we were given to them just for them to brutalize us. No, because you have some people, and he makes that very clear. For y'all nations, y'all don't get caught up in the fact that I allow these people to be bondsmen to you. Don't think that your hand is that strong. Don't think that. But we can't forget that their hand ain't that strong either. We cannot forget. He told us what would happen to us. He told us what would happen to us. And unfortunately, the real prophet's truth has to go to his people first about what they are doing wrong, first and foremost. It ain't about what the taskmaster is doing wrong, because the taskmaster is only put there because we were disobedient. We have read throughout history, our history, in this book. I ain't even talking about no other history book. In our history book right here, when he read it and we're obedient, one will chase 1,000 a flight, two will chase 10,000 a flight. And unless we think these are just stories like what we watch in Endgame or what we watch in Infinity War, you know, that these superheroes, you know, that it's the same type of thing. No, it's not to me. No, it's not to me. That is science fiction or science fantasy. This is real to me. And even though I may not have personally experienced an angel putting his armor on me like that, oh, I know Yahweh is with me. And just like a man said, certain things were for a certain time. But a time is coming again where the men of Yahweh are going to rise up. And they are going to do things that this world has never seen done. Not for many, many years. Not for many, many years. But the only way that we are in bondage to any man throughout our history was Yahweh had to remove that protection from us for a time so that we can get right with him. That's the only way it happens. That's the only way it happens. That's Deuteronomy 7. When Yahweh thy Elohim shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. There's a documentary on the Hittites. I think it's on Netflix. Have you watched it, Aki? There's a documentary on the Hittites. Read that history of them brothers. They were warmongers. See, a lot of these people, they have cast out in American history. But a lot of their history is preserved in Europe and other nations. And the Hittites were a terrible, that's why Yahweh even named them first. They were one of the most terrible forces that are out there. They were brutal. They were one of the kings of war in the Bronze Age. Read the history of the Hittites. And that's why Yahweh named them. These are nations that were mightier than Israel. That's why we're farmers. They weren't a fighting people. But he had nations out there that were warriors that he overtook for us. 7:2. And when Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver thee before them, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, so that the anger of Yahweh be kindled amongst you, against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh thy Elohim had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And I love this part right here. Deuteronomy 7:7. Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of the people. Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. He didn't want the crowds. He didn't want the masses. 7:8. But because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Yahweh, thy Elohim, he is El, the faithful El, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will not repay. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to keep these judgments and keep and do them, that Yahweh the Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And Yahweh will take away thee from all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Y'all going to be trapped by their gods. Think about it. He said their gods are going to be an entrapment for you, a prison for you. If thou shalt say in thy heart, these nations are more than I,
How can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what Yahweh, that Elohim, did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretch out arm, whereby Yahweh, that Elohim, brought thee out. So shall Yahweh, that Elohim, do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, Yahweh, thy Elohim, will send a hornet among them until they are left, and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for Yahweh, thy Elohim, is among you, a mighty El and terrible. So we go back to 20, we see they can't even hide from you. When Yahweh is with you and those enemies rise up against you, they can't even hide from you. Because even those that may seem like they're hidden from you, Yahweh know where they're at. And guess what he's going to send after them? His own creation. His own creation he's going to send after them. So think about the power that Yahweh is telling us that we had back then. And have now. Think about it. Think about it. Seven twenty-two. And Yahweh that Elohim will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But Yahweh, that Elohim, shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hands, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. We'll read that again. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hands. He shall deliver thine presidents, thine prime ministers, their whatever they call their heads of state into thine hand, and shall destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images, 25, of their elves shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take unto thee, lest thou shalt be snared therein, for it is an abomination to Yahweh thy Elohim. Think about that. How many brothers out there in the know rocking them Jesus pieces? Think about how many brothers out there rocking them nice, pretty. Some of them links as thick as ropes. And at the bottom of it, weighing it down, is old Jesus. But Yahweh said, don't desire that. Don't desire that, or a cross, or whatever. Or Star David. Don't desire that. Don't desire that. Because the first thing they say, touchdown, thank you, who? Well, thank you, Yahweh. Home run. They get first base. I thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, who? You see what I'm saying? They didn't score a goal. They don't start off with, everybody's in an uproar about the national anthem, and they starting off, every sports event with the national anthem. Well, you know what? The believers should be upset that they don't start off every sports event with Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Yakar. that's what the believers should be upset about. You know what I'm saying? That's what we should be upset about. If caught up in a lot of that stuff at all. 7:26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be cursed like it, but shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a curse. So, love is putting Yahweh first, keeping Yahweh in the forefront of our mind. And love is Yahweh loving us despite the fact that we are the fewest among the nations. He don't want a warrior people, not in the physical sense. He don't want that.
We want a people that that know when to fall back and let him fight them. Any questions? Any thoughts? Not? Yes, I can.
That's something we're trying to teach my son.
Mm-hmm.
Is not to be the type of person who, like, repays. Don't give hate to hate. You know, you know, he gets angry at how people treat him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, show him love anyway, which is something that I have along and still learn. You know, but the fact that you remind yourself, you know, it helps others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's something else that I got from this.
Yeah.
You know, because when he say, I didn't pick you because you was the biggest, the strongest, of this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I picked you because, flat out, I love y'all.
That's right.
You know, that's why y'all didn't do anything
mm-hmm.
to earn this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all didn't do, y'all not great. Y'all just got up. Y'all the unwanted ones, but I'm the one that wants you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like love is, it's just a giving, folks.
Hallelujah.
You know, their shortcomings when they shortcome you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it's not the popular notion because, you know, we want. It's easy to act in kind to people when they treat you bad. It's easy to do that. It's in our nature to do that. It's difficult to be slapped for Yahweh's sake, for the word's sake, and not get slapped back. It's difficult. It's about subduing everything that has become part of our nature. Everything that has that the world wants to see done. The world wants to see brutality. The world wants to see a fight. You know, I watched the video that the brother sent out, and the lady was talking about you know, things that was taking place in Congress and at these conventions in the 20s. It's odd in this day and age to think that they had all out brawls in some of these conventions. Matter of fact, I remember watching a video about the history of basketball. At one point, the basketball players had to play inside caged arenas because if the visiting team lost, they might not make it home for a basketball game, for a sporting event. But that's what the world wants to see. I mean, people in this age is getting upset about words. What's going to happen now when it gets to blows? What will happen once it gets to blows? If people are upset about words, what's going to happen once it gets to blows?
I mean, look at soccer matches.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, people are getting killed over
mm-hmm.
soccer games.
In England.
In England.
And other parts of Europe.
They burn the stadium down. Yeah. They burn the stadium down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the ref. There's a couple times ref missed the call.
Mm-hmm.
Ref missed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's... Yeah, man, it's but that goes back to what Yahweh said about controlling yourself.
Amen.
You know, because when you really think about all these different things, when you first start off, love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Show love to your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That takes self-control.
Mm-hmm.
To not want to wrong a person who wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that you always keep in Yahweh at the forefront of your mind. People wrong you on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost, but it seems like people wrong you on a daily basis. You know, because a lot of times we catch feelings when we shouldn't. You know,
I'm on
it, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But to master that, you know, is something. That's something that you constantly have to do. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a challenge.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. and you know, it's so funny because. You know, and the one, not to get all caught up in that, but, you know, the one person who is really talking about things that we need to do better, that's one of the least people that they, you know, they really want to hear about treating one another better, about, you know, about, nobody want to hear that. That's not what debates is about.
Tell me how I'm going to get reparations. Tell me how we're going to, the new Green Deal. Tell me about that. Tell me about this. How we're going to save the environment.
What if we start treating one another at least with some level of kindness and some level of civility? You know, what if we started with that? Could that change the narrative? Could that change the narrative? You know what I'm saying? Granted, we know it's a pipe dream in this world because without divine intervention, this flesh ain't going to find peace. This flesh ain't going to find peace. I mean, it's right here in the scripture. You know what I mean? Because if Israel having a personal encounter with the creator of the heaven and the earth couldn't will themselves to do it, it says, after he makes his grand appearance to rule, they're going to try to fight with him. So is it really in our nature to do that? It's not. It's not. It's not in our nature to do that. But if we can will ourselves to submit to the Father and through his Son, then by his deeds, we have a chance. But not by ourselves. Shalom. Oh, that's right. I gotta finish up yet. Sorry. Cocoon. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. You are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
There you are.
Hallelujah.
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 Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for looking after the stars of the morning. Hurting us, your Father.
Amen.
Healing them, making them home once again, Father.
Amen.
Father, we open our eyes and open our ears and open our minds to your word, Father. We ask that you open our brother, Mara else, eyes, ears, that you put your word within his mouth. And that you edify us through him. Feed us, continue to nurture us, continue to raise us up. Thank you for the word that you put within our brother Yahweh's love class.
Amen.
Continue to edify us, Father. Continue to bring us closer to you, step by step. Strengthen us along this path. Strengthen us to overcome the obstacles. Father, let us realize how much power we have. Keep our eyes on you constantly.
Amen.
Look after the black parents. Look after anyone that's hurting physically, spiritually, mentally, Father. Be aware of your mercies. Give them exactly what they need, Father, to overcome whatever it is that's, that we can want to, Father. I wish you guys knew to praise all your honor.
Hallelujah. once was a kingdom far, far away, where love was the rule of the day. Nothing more and nothing less than to give your friend your best. There's much more story that I could tell to make the hardest hearts swell. This is the story. Love was king. When love was king, do you remember? When love was king, when love was king, I remember, oh, when love was king, he ruled the land with his fist unfurled, with open arms for the world of hungry children. First he'd think to pull brink. When love was king, he rescued souls that were lost in the sea, in drifting vessels. He would hear their pleas. When love was king, he threw a before they'd sink, and gave the thirsty ones a drink. He told the meek that they should try to use the sword to smite the lion. That being kind is for the weak. I pray the Lord these words we speak.
An equal force, wise and keen. shining throne when love was king. When love